Olá a todos, o Johnny aqui. Esse arquivo que eu estou subindo, talvez que você que consome o nosso feed do Super Amiibos, não saiba, mas lá pelos idos de 2012, 2013, eu tinha um outro podcast, blog, que se chamava Gamer Inconstante. Foi chamado assim porque eu não tinha nenhuma constância no posting de conteúdo lá. Mas uma das coisas mais legais que rolou lá foi quando a gente entrevistou o diretor Jos De Putter, que ele dirigiu um documentário focado no cenário de esportes muito antes da gente ter MOBAs e tudo mais. Ele era focado em competições de StarCraft. E existe um documentário que chama Beyond the Game, onde ele acompanha dois jogadores, a rotina deles e culmina no duelo entre esses dois jogadores, se não me engano, na semifinal. É um documentário bem bacana, recomendo quem puder ir atrás aí do Beyond the Game. Ele foi exibido aqui no Brasil em mostras naquela época, festival É Tudo Verdade, enfim. Mas para não perder esse conteúdo eu achei aqui fuçando umas hospedagens antigas minhas, e eu tô subindo ele no feed aqui. A entrevista tá toda em inglês, eu acredito que boa parte das pessoas talvez não consiga consumir esse conteúdo, e infelizmente eu não tenho muita pretensão de fazer uma tradução dele, mas para quem quiser ouvir, quem souber inglês e tiver curiosidade, eu tô deixando aqui nesse feed. Se você não tem curiosidade, não se importa com isso ou não fala inglês, talvez você não queira ouvir o áudio que vai entrar aqui a seguir, ok? Bom, é isso. Acompanhe a entrevista minha e do meu então colega na época, Guilherme Gumúcio, que hoje ele é professor na Universidade de Mogi das Cruzes, sobre entrevista aí com o Jos De Putter, né? Jos De Putter, que é o diretor, né?
Hello, good evening, Mr. Potter.
Hello, bom dia.
Bom dia. Oh, you've learned some Portuguese in Rio, right?
Tudo bem, sim.
Yeah.
Vai, já tem tempo que tem que praticar um pouco.
Oh, no, it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah, your Portuguese is awesome. Congrats. All right, how are you doing, Mr. Sorry, first of all, how do we pronounce your name? Like Sputter?
In Dutch you would say Jos de Putter.
Jos de Putter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Okay. We will do some questions, beginning with some basic and general stuff. Then we'll
Yeah.
go more into specific ones, okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay,
Okay.
if it's right with you, sir, which
Yeah,
is.
fine. So, but where are you based, in Rio or where?
No, in São Paulo. Have you ever
In
been in
São
São
Paulo.
Paulo?
Yeah, I was in São Paulo. I think I was at the festival at Tudo Verdade.
Yeah, it begins April the 4th.
Exactly, and I was there 2 years ago.
Are you
And
coming? Are
also,
you coming this year?
no, the director, he asked me because I think he wants to show all my films next year. So then I will be there in 1 year from
Oh, a
now. That's great.
retrospective.
A retrospective, yeah.
That's awesome. You spoke with Labaki?
Yeah, with Labaki, yeah, Amir,
Yeah, Amir Labaki, he's awesome. Yeah, he works all year on this. He's awesome. Okay,
yeah.
so
So if everything works out, I'll be there, and we have a beer or something.
Oh,
It
that
would
would
be
be
nice.
awesome. Yeah, we can have a get together. That would be a great honor, as a matter of fact.
Okay, so what? I have to think back now for 5 years, eh? I think.
Yes, to the point where beyond the game. But yeah, Johnny will make the first question, I guess.
Yes.
Okay.
How was your relationship with video games before and after Beyond the Game? As a filmmaker and critic, to what extent were you aware of the aspects involved in international game competitions and all that stuff?
Yeah, no, so it was practically zero. So I didn't know anything, I think, about games before. And so the only, what I What I found interesting was that there was this whole new, let's say, subculture for young people.
Yes.
And at some point, I read something very interesting. I think that that was one of the starting points. I read an interview, I guess, with some of the people from Blizzard company.
Yes.
And so there was this Rob Pardo, who is the boss, and he said that maybe the way games are being built and the place they have in the culture of young people is like they change very much the nature of storytelling. Because, let's say, normally, let's say in literature, hundreds of years, you read a book, you get to know a hero, yes. And through the deeds of the hero, you know, maybe you learn something of your own life, yeah? About the moral decisions and things like that.
Yes, and to do that.
Yeah, the same thing with cinema. With cinema, you sit and you watch a film, and in a way, there is a hero, and the hero takes, as the story evolves, takes decisions and all that, and you learn, maybe you learn something.
Yes.
Now, with gaming, Pardo said that, let's say, the player, so the audience is not only an audience, but also a player, which means you have an active role within the story that is unfolding.
It's not a passive activity.
Exactly. And so this is very interesting in a very broad, let's say, cultural, philosophical sense. That's a very interesting moment because there is a whole, your generation grew up in this new culture with new approach to stories and how the audience or the user or what is involved, the player in the story. I think it started like that, which is of course very far away still. But I need something like that always in my films, that I think, okay, you know, what is it? What could it be in a philosophical sense also?
Yes, I see.
And then I just went to, I think I went to Milan, where there was the World Championship of 2006, I think.
Mm.
And so I didn't know anything. So, but then there was one young guy from Holland who led me around, because I didn't know what my film was going to be about. You know, because you have all these different games.
Yes.
And then, but some of them I found really stupid, because, for example, I saw a game for soccer, yes, a FIFA soccer game.
Yes.
They have to play world champions. So what do I witness? I see the final, Brazil against Brazil.
So, yeah, that's not very actual. Yeah, that's not very actual. Yeah. That couldn't happen in real life. Yeah.
No, yeah, and I'm a very big football fan. So for me, this is completely ridiculous to see Brazil against Brazil.
Doesn't appear as an international competition at all.
So, but then I witness. In fact, I witness a game of Sky against Grubby.
Mm-hmm.
And I somehow, there was all these young people, and I didn't understand anything about the game. But what I did feel was the atmosphere, yeah, and the concentration and the craftsmanship, all that. So that was the beginning.
Maybe that was the moment you saw it. Like, did you think, I have those, these are the characters of my next film somehow, when you saw Grubby and Sky?
Yes, immediately. Somebody who I also thought was very interesting at the time was Moon.
Mm-hmm.
I talked with everybody, but it's very difficult to talk to Moon. Yeah, he is like he's on the moon, really. So although I found him very intelligent and also quite sympathetic, but much more difficult to talk to. And I thought Sky and Grubby were also extremely fascinating characters. Also because in a way, when I spoke to this young Dutch guy who led me around in this world, and I could also see what he explained about the difference between the two. Yeah, Grubby is like an artist for the whole, at the time, the Warcraft scene. And
it's more like a superstar.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, they are both superstars, maybe, and Moon is a superstar. But the thing is that Grubby is being seen as a really, let's say, a, like an artist, like a very beautiful player, while Sky is much more like a hard worker.
Yes. Yeah?
And I thought it is maybe interesting to see these styles because, you know, me coming from Europe, I can relate to this... To Grubby style, which is maybe also something very European, yeah. That you're looking for the beauty of the game and all that. And at the same time, in real life, in economics and all that, we in the rest of the world have to deal with China. You know, this giant, very strong machine that simply never stops. Yes. And I thought that Sky is maybe in a way an embodiment of China, so to speak. In his style, you know, and never giving up and just continue, you know, and maybe not doing very, very brilliant things that nobody has ever seen before, like Grubby and Moon do, but at the same time, very difficult to beat, of course.
This whole East versus West culture shock that Beyond the Game presents to us as an audience, and how this was for you? Do you think the audience would see this way as a culture shock beyond the East and West? It was intentionally made.
Absolutely. So this is really what I was trying to, you know, if the audience can see that, let's say, beyond the story of the two boys, the two young men, then I think I succeeded in the film because in a way, this whole the way they their lives are different, the way their style in the is different, the way they deal with other people is different. That is in a way a culture shock. I really wanted to try to make something like that. Although I like them both very much, you know, so I don't favor one of the two. I think they are. While working, because I can be their father, yes, I'm 53 years old, you know, so I'm really double their age. So, so it was very interesting in a way also to look at people who could have been my sons. Yes. You see?
You said that because it is cleverly crafted. I think that the merit here goes to how you wrote this, like how we really see as a virtual battle between East and West, but like it's like, you know, it's like Rocky versus Ivan Drago on Rocky V, you know, like the hardworking man versus the high technology, and in some way, because I love the scene where Sky wakes up.
Yeah.
that it's shocking. I must say for most of the audience, because in one scene you enter in all this routine of these guys, which is something like out of this world for the rest of the population, right? Like you don't wake up and start playing any game. So. You mentioned that, and I must ask you, sir, like, did you ever got some critic or some feedback on someone that said that you favored one on another, or like some way that you favored one of another?
No, I don't think so. I think maybe the strange thing was that maybe Grubby felt that. Maybe Grubby was a little bit disappointed in the film. I'm not sure. I think in a way he liked the film, but he also said, yeah, the strange thing is your film is really about Sky, and I am just one of the people that he beats.
I see. Because it's Sky, it's so... You said it yourself. It's like more oriented stuff. It's more poetic in some ways. Like the idea that the West has from the East, isn't that so?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, for me, of course, being Dutch, it's much more interesting to film in China than to film in Holland. So you see the difference with the scene with Grubby, although I like very much the scene with Grubby and his mother in the beginning, the way she makes his sandwiches,
Yeah, totally.
Because there you see, like in old stories about heroes, you always have the mother preparing for the young hero to go out into the world to do the big deeds, to become a hero. So I thought I liked that scene very much because of that reason. But at the same time, when you are in the house of Sky, you know, who really, really was living in the middle of nowhere, you know, in a very small, very far away Chinese village, then you feel the poetic of the poetry of the place and all that, of course. And you think, okay, this guy comes from this far, you know.
You told us about the different places where the movie was shot. How was the production schedule with Beyond the Game? Did it took many staffs to follow up the characters? How long did the production take?
It took a long time. I think, you know, I started actually that I thought, okay, maybe this is a film. That must have been, I think, November 2006. Because then I went to Milan to see, and I saw these players for the first time.
Right.
So then you have the ordinary things, you know, you go out to find the money and all that. And but then I had to start already in the summer of 2007 to see if Sky would qualify in China. Because, you know, it would have been possible if because China is so strong that all these players... That if Sky does not qualify, then I have to. It's very stupid, these things.
Yeah, it would be an issue, right?
Yeah, but it can happen, you know, because we are dealing with reality here. And in fact, the same thing, of course, happened later on when I was actually filming the World Championship in Toronto, in Seattle. What happened was all the time I think, all right, ideally, you know, you think of a film in a script, and ideally these two players will meet in the finals, yes?
Right.
But then did this not happen?
Right.
It was not only that, the game they played in real life against each other was not even on the main stage. It was in a back room somewhere, sitting next to each other, which was completely not as spectacular as what I want. What
I want
for my film. It was the quarterfinals,
mm-hmm,
when they played each other. So I think, okay, what do we do now? So what I did, because I thought this is going to happen, when I saw the schedule, the playing schedule, yeah, between first round, second round, and then the quarterfinal, I said, okay, this is going to be, this is going to go wrong. So then what I did is I filmed both of them when they were playing a very big game on the main stage.
Right.
And this is how I constructed for the reason of that it looks much more spectacular, I constructed their game with the help of those images.
I see. Right. Like it works on editing this, right?
Yeah. Because what I did is I used the game that Sky played against Moon. Because when Sky won that game, he was completely, you know, he was overwhelmed with joy. And then he thought that it would be very easy to win the finals as well, because there was this Norwegian player who was really not so strong, they thought.
But this is a real competition, and you can't predict everything.
But that for my film, of course, it was not good for Sky, but for my film, it was very good that he lost.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then they, you know, they don't want to. Yeah, they are completely broken when that happens, and it's a. But, you know, it's funny how reality, you know, it's always very interesting as a documentary filmmaker, how you deal with, on the one hand, you have the idea of your film, and on the other hand, there is the reality. And you always have to find the balance. And sometimes you can get completely surprised, because, of course, I only had one camera, and I was thinking, okay, Sky will be the world champion. So we put the camera simply on Sky, and then we have this close-up of him realizing that he lost, and that all his life, actually, up to that point, you know, it had to lead to the world championship. And you just see that he realizes how much he lost.
You had one camera? Sorry, you had one camera always? Like,
Yeah, only one, yeah.
I see. Sorry. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, so, and then you think as a filmmaker, as a human being, I felt a pity for Sky, yeah? But as a filmmaker, I was very happy that he lost because, it gives the film a completely extra dimension.
Right.
Yeah, I see. There's a dilemma that you're probably used to as a documentarist. Like, you can't interfere in reality, right?
You have to know a little bit what to expect, but then sometimes you can be completely surprised.
The main characters of Beyond the Game are somehow acclaimed by a very specific group of people, and we, the viewers, get to see some good and some bad aspects of their personalities. Do you try to foresee how the viewers would see and judge those characters?
Well, basically what I was thinking is, all right, I have one artist and I have one hard worker.
Right.
And I will just try to show what that means in your life on that age. You know, what are the decisions you take? And to me, for example, what was a kind of an amazing scene was the conversation with Sky's girlfriend.
Right.
Because she knows what this life means. Huh? She knows that Sky, in the end, if he has to choose at his age, he will choose for the game and not for her. She realized that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a very awesome aspect of the movie.
Yeah.
She shows herself very supportive all the time.
Yeah. But then when she says that, the way she talks about Sky, you can see that in the interview, actually, it looks like in the interview she realizes that the relationship is over.
Mm.
And to me, that was incredible because, number one, you are in China. Yeah, it's Chinese. They don't show many emotions normally.
Right.
And I think I was very lucky because what happened was that my translator in China is a Dutch friend of mine who has been studying Chinese. So we were together. But he had to go back to Holland earlier. So all of a sudden I'm there in the middle of China and I had to deal with an assistant, a Chinese assistant. And and he was an elderly man. He was in his late 60s even. And so I think, okay, now this is going to be something. This is a Chinese man who knows nothing about gaming, and he has to do this interview with Sky's girlfriend. What are we going to do? So I asked him to not to interview her, but to talk to her as if he was her grandfather.
Right.
He said, just try to imagine you are the grandfather of the girl. And somehow, he managed to do that. So this girl, Sky's girlfriend, in a way, she forgot that this was an interview, you see. She was talking to her grandfather, in a way. And I think that is the reason that we got this emotion.
Yes. It's a great scene from the movie.
Yeah, that was very clever of you, sir. Like, director does. Yeah.
No, on the one hand, of course, I made quite a few films, so you have a bit of experience. But then at the same time, you have to have luck, and count on people. It was luck also.
Right, Gisha, do you want to make the next question?
Okay. I was thinking, you mentioned the editing, so maybe how worried you were about editing the gameplay scenes, because it is very out of your basic filmmaking, right? So,
yeah.
Because when editing, how are you worried about causing the right desired impact on the viewer and not annoy or tiresome then? I mean, the scenes, they really are entering the mind of the gamers, and you're just listening mostly to their mouse clicks and mouse swipes. So how was this editing the those things, especially on the championships?
Yeah. Okay. Well, the scenes in the championships, they have to do with the other scenes when we get to know them. And I think do you know Wong Kar-wai, the director?
Yeah, the Chinese director.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he made these films, you know, like Fallen Angels or Chungking Express.
Okay.
This is like his earlier work. Mm-hmm. What I found very interesting is that how he uses the voiceover. So you see people, in a way, commenting their own lives, but you never see them. You hear them, but the images are completely different. So I thought, because my characters, Sky and Grubby, they deal so much, you know, they live in a different world, in a virtual world. I thought I have to disconnect also their voice from their body, you know, when they speak about themselves.
Okay.
So editing, that was important. And then because I could like introduce Sky like that, yeah, you see him playing and then he starts talking about himself in voiceover. I thought in the end I can do the mirror image of that. When you actually hear the commentator of the game, mm-hmm, talking about the game while they are still just waking up or preparing or being in the bus towards the event, just to convey the message in the film that all their lives have been part of this game.
Right.
Basically, that's in fact the idea behind how I treat the game, because you know, I don't understand the game myself, so it would be stupid to try and think of all, yeah, to see, okay, this is a very brilliant move or this is not. That, you know, that would be different. So I was thinking of using what happens in the game as a kind of metaphor of what happens in their lives.
I see. Yeah, that I can totally say that you managed to do that, because it feels like a really disconnected world, really, from the real world. And and because the images, they are so colored, like the World of Warcraft images, and it feels like I said, you're entering their minds, and somehow we get to see that how important that is for them, because of the many clicks they do, like, it's a physical effort as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you very much. I don't know, how old are you guys?
I'm 30, sir.
32.
Okay, yeah, so you're a little bit older than the average game, because of course I was thinking all the time, you know, can I, with this film, you know, can it be appreciated by like a 20-year-old or a 25-year-old?
Yeah, maybe you can tell us that, sir. How was your movie, how was the feedback from your movie, like from gamers and non-gamers on festivals and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, on festivals, I liked, on different festivals, I liked that young people liked the film. And at the same time, I can find on the internet, I can find the comments of young people who saying that this is, of course, the most boring film they have ever seen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, because they, you know, they think they will have something different. And then when you get something different and you are not ready for that, then, of course, you find it very boring. I can see that. Well, I think the film, in a way, was because it was launched on video on demand in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And it was downloaded 800,000 times.
That's a great number.
That's like, I thought that's amazing. Yeah, an amazing number.
Yeah.
My problem was I didn't have a good contract, you know, because I didn't make any money, you know.
Oh. Are you talking about that BitTorrent sponsored stuff?
It was, I don't know, there was some middle guy, you know, who said, okay, we can do this, and then I thought, all right, and then I made a mistake maybe by, because I had done interviews with all very interesting players, Grubby and Sky, but also with Moon and with Todd and with some other players as well, and I thought, okay, what I should do is I give all these interviews, and also with all the people from Blizzard. It's not in the film, but you're the game developers, and Rob Pardo, who's the boss of Blizzard. I did great interviews with all of them. Mm-hmm. And it was so I thought I can put all that on the internet and I make a trailer. And then if you want to see the film, maybe you pay 10 cents for the film. But I thought that was a clever idea. But then the people who knew how to do these things, they did it differently. And I ended up making no money with 800,000 downloads.
Oh, my God. Like, and Blizzard got all this publicity, right?
Yeah.
It's like, can we? I know that you have a tight schedule. Maybe we can do two more questions?
Sure, is that
right? Okay, so I saw the making of a new Empire film.
really?
It is a great movie. It was shot in the late 90s, right?
Yes, in 98, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So when shot in Beyond the Game, do you recall remembering about making of New Empire? Because they are words so far from each other, because the Chechnya issue is a real world issue, right? You're getting guns, people are dying, and these guys in this movie, like, you're shooting this movie and you see, like, they are in a virtual battle. Like, do you remember making this connection?
I think for me the connection is always, you remember what I said in the beginning of about Beyond the Game, yeah, on the philosophical level,
right?
About what heroes are in for a new generation, let's see, who operate in a virtual world, yeah.
Sure.
How do you define your lives and all that? You know, I think those are the questions that lead me to making films. So because for the making of A New Empire, I met this amazing character who is the boss of the Chechen mafia. And I thought, you know, he is, for the people around him, he's a hero. Yeah, he's like a kind of a Robin Hood. Like, while for other people he might be a rebel or even a murderer, yeah, or a mafia boss. It's very, and the thing that defines who he is how he himself uses mythology of old heroes, of people who fight for the village or for the nation, or, you know, which is very strong, which plays a very strong role in Chechen culture.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, this relationship between the mythology and the real life and the history is somehow similar, although I realize it sounds strange, but it's similar than what I deal with in Beyond the Game, because there I deal with the relationship between the virtual world and being a hero.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I see. It comes back to Greek philosophy and really
a little bit, yes, yeah,
and
yeah,
and Homer and all that stuff, right?
Yeah,
they have their journey, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I see your signature on both movies. I like especially the shots. I think that the shots from inside the cars are fulfilled with meaning in both of them. An Empire and Beyond the Game, like the gun ready behind the windshield in the beginning of the Empire, is relevant as Sky's parents are driving that fancy car on that village. Yeah, they tell a whole lot about that characters. Do you think that the urge to look the other way, or like instead of looking to the main character, like looking at how his girlfriend is seen by the other guys, like, and check on someone on the, like, driving your lens to the characters that are not that prominent, it's like a character of the cinema verite on your work of,
yes, maybe it is like that, but it's also, I think, what they call the Dutch school, you know, it's deeply rooted in Dutch tradition of making documentary film. It's like, you know, we have this idea, if everybody is looking one way, it's very simple to make a film. Just turn your back to them and look the other way.
Yeah, that's a great rule, right?
Yeah, it's a little bit of a rule, you know. You have to be, you have to somehow in your head, you have to know, you have to have this idea. Yeah, that the truth is if you look the other way.
Yeah, and I think we can see that on your movies.
But look, guys, I am very interested in you because I was thinking, I don't know, you know, I don't, I was thinking you were connected only to game culture, but you sound as if you are film students or something.
Yeah. No, actually, I am. I study cinema and that stuff. And and I can see that I have the catalog of the 14th. Of the 14th International Documentary Film Festival of São Paulo, of Vladimir Baki, and he has a quote by you, sir, on the Beyond the Game page, and it says, you said, I think you said, you're going to tell me if you said this or not, but it's it's a very intelligent quote. You said, chess players might be the heroes of my generation, and I've never heard of anyone calling Kasparov an addicted.
Yeah, I said that.
And I don't think it's a coincidence that the memorable symbol of the chess game, of the chess table in making up a new empire, it's a coincidence. And I think you really see something between games and the humankind, like you're telling as a general rule. Isn't that right?
Yeah, I never thought about this, but you might be right, you know. Because maybe you should write an article next year if I go to... I will tell Amir that you have to write the article.
It would be a great honor, sir. It would be a great... Yeah, I think that connects to the hero character that you're telling. Like, the chess table on and the main character, he says to the other character, he says... Do you know what is your mistake here?
Yeah.
And yeah, the other characters, he thinks that, and we, the audience, think that he's telling about some move, right? And he says,
yeah.
Your mistake is that you're playing a game with me.
Yeah.
Like, he's a hero. You can't play a game with him.
Yeah, that's quite a tough sentence. I remember that. I like that very much, that sentence.
Yeah, it's
a... I'm thinking about what you're saying, because maybe about the games, yeah, because it's amazing what you are saying, because I never thought about it like that, the way you say it. But you know, maybe you know that I made this film about two young boys who want to become soccer players,
yeah,
in Brazil.
Yeah, Favela, right?
Yeah, and then I made the film about fans of the Brooklyn Dodgers, the baseball team, which is also connected very much to if you are. Because they are fans, yeah, of this team that always loses.
Okay.
So the Brooklyn Dodgers, they were famous in the 50s, mm-hmm. but they always lost. They lost in the most incredible manner, yeah. Then everybody thought they had won one time, you know. Then they lose the last ball, yeah. It's like it goes out of the stadium, so and all that, and then they lose again, and then these people that I interviewed. They are all in their 80s. They are very old men.
Okay.
And because I was thinking, you know, what kind of people are you when you have lost all your lives? All you know is you lose.
Okay.
Then what does that do to you as a human being? It's a very funny film, I think, in a way. And then I also did about these young people who dance, the Chechen dance troupe, which is also connected in a way to this movement. Or it's not a game, but it deals with how you deal with life through something else.
Okay.
Through dance in this mm-hmm. in this way. So maybe you are maybe you are right.
Okay. Yeah. It's all competition in some way, as you said it.
Yeah. Also. Yeah.
Okay. And now you're producing a movie. It is connected to China, right?
Yeah. Producing. Yeah. About the pigeon. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It connects to that somehow, or
is no? It's different. It's a friend of mine is making that film, and I produce it because it's a strange story. It's about a racing pigeon, who is very famous in Holland, the racing pigeon, and then he's being sold to China, but because the pigeon does not perform very well in China, he ends up being eaten in a restaurant.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
I'm making a film about. I'm preparing a film about three elderly chimpanzees.
Okay.
They are in America. There is a home for famous chimpanzees. You can only get in when you are actually a famous chimpanzee.
Okay.
And these chimps, they do what we do when in an elderly home. You know, once they make a stroll. They watch a lot of television. Sometimes a friend comes by. They do the occasional. Sometimes they make a painting. It's amazing. And so I want to do that. I want to tell a story about us human beings, but by telling this story about the three old chimpanzees.
Oh, that's a great idea, I must say. I would watch that movie for sure. Okay. Do you think something to add, Johnny?
No, I think that does it. I would like to thank Mr. Putter for his sympathy and all the tension with us. It was a great interview. I loved it.
Yeah, I liked it very much. I enjoyed it a lot. So let's have we'll have a caipirinha in a year from now, okay?
Right. Okay, it's a schedule already.
All right.
Is there anything you might add? You want to add, Mr. Potter?
No, it's fine. I liked it very much. Thank you for all your interest in my work. Really.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna. So thank you very much, Mr. Potter. Josef Potter here with us. I would like to thank you for the interview, and this is gonna be a great add to our blog and podcast to all the listeners and the readers from Brazil. And we expect to have you here in a year from now. So then,
very good. I'll be there. Okay.
Thank
good
you,
luck
yes.
to you. Okay.
Bye bye.
Ciao.